This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Good evening. Hi. Welcome to tonight's share. The halacha section for tonight is an interesting one. Tzedakah requests by phone and mail. I'm sure many of you have received lots of letters in the post, mass mailings. What is the story from a halachic point of view? Does one have to respond to those? How much does one have to give? So that is what we're going to discuss for the short slot this evening. The connection to the parasha, we always try if possible to find a connection to the parasha, is very direct. The first box, if you're listening online, you want the handout, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com. The pasuk says, Perek Chofches Vayidar Yaakov Neder Lemer. And Yaakov Avinu makes a neder. He has his famous dream. And when he wakes up from the dream, makes a neder and says, In Yi Hashem Imodi, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me, Ushmarani Baderech Hazeh Asher Anochi Haylech, and he watches me, he guards me on the way on which I'm going. For Nosam Nilechem Lechol Beged Lilboish, and he gives me bread to eat and clothes to wear. For Shavti B'Sholom El Beis Ovi, and he returns me in peace to my father's house. Kol Asher Titeni Aser Asrenu Loch. Whatever he gives me, I will give a tenth, one tenth, as stocker. So there we have it, the connection to stocker in this week's parsha. We know the importance of stocker is paramount. There's many, many Mamori Chazal. Just a couple that's just picked from Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says in Yeridah and Simon Reish Mem Zayin, Mitzvah Saseh Litain Stocker Kafi Hasogas Yad. There is a mitzvah saseh to give stock according to one's means, according to one's ability. But ma'oid yesh lezoheba. And one should be very careful with stocker. Ki efshe sheyovin adesh fichas domin. Because by not giving stocker, that could result in murder. Sheyomus ha'oni ha'mavakeshim lo yitin lemiyad. Because the person collecting may die if one doesn't give him straight away. Ka'uvda d'nochem ishkamzu. Like the case of Nochem Ishkamzu. The Gemara in Tanis tells the story where Nochem Ishkamzu, the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva, was once traveling on a donkey, and a person, an oni, a pauper, came to him and asked him for some food, and he got off his donkey, and he had to carefully unload it because the donkey is very, you know, is very accurately balanced, and if you sort of take off one side, then the donkey will sort of fall over, it will tip over, so you got to take it off very carefully, and he slowly unpacked his bag, and then he looked around for the oni, and Nebuch, the oni had passed away. So the Gemara says one has to be very careful and to give the oni quickly in a desperate situation like that. And there are many other examples of this. A person doesn't become poor from giving stocker, it says in Sif Beis. Nothing bad comes from giving stocker. There's the famous marshal of the Chofetz Chaim that a person goes into the post office. And it's tempting, you know, you earn hard cash, you earn good money, and to give away one-tenth to stocker is sometimes very challenging. And the Chofetz Chaim gives the moshel, a person goes into the post office, and he's got a package, and he puts some stamps on it, and then he gives it to the clerk in the post office, and he says, I want to send this. He goes, well, put it on the scales, we'll weigh it, and we'll see if you've got enough stamps. And the person weighs it, he says, I'm afraid it's too heavy, you need to put on more stamps. So you look at the fellow, the clerk, incredulously, and you say, but if I put on more stamps, it's going to become heavier. Well, obviously, the point is the stamps, the extra stamps is what carries it through. Well, so too, a person gives a stocker, sometimes that gives way to bracha and to blessing in all financial matters. So just two ideas of stocker, the importance of stocker. Now, how much does one actually have to give? So the Rambam, we're talking about a person who is knocking on the door. And Oni HaMechazer Al HaPesachim is called. So says the Rambam, Oni HaMechazer Al HaPesachim, this is box number 3, Ein Nizkokin Lo Lematonim Merubo. You don't have to give a large amount. Avon Noisin Lo Matonim U'etes. But you've got to give a small amount. V'osa Lahachse HaOni Sheshar Al Reikom. The poor person who's knocking on your door, you shouldn't turn him away empty-handed. V'afilu Aton Noisin Lo Grigeres Achas. Even if you give him a very small amount, Shenemar Al Yoshev Dach Nichlom. Let not the oppressed person turn his back in shame. Al Yoshev Dach Nichlom. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan makes a very important point. Take a look at the last box in Yeridah Siman Reish Nun. Come and noisim la'omi. How much should you actually give the poor person? Ki posoyach, it says in the Pasuk in Dvarim Tesayin, ki posoyach tiftach es yod choloi. One should open one's hand to the oni, You give him whatever his deficiency is, whatever the need is. If he's hungry, then you give him food. If you need clothes, then you've got to clothe him. If he needs household furniture, or if he needs cutlery and crockery, or use some chairs, then you have to provide that, whatever the need. So you give whatever the need is. Interestingly, the Pasuk says, "Ki posayach tiftach lo." When a person clenches his fist, all the fist seems the same size, all the fingers seem the same size. But when one opens up the hand, the Vilna Gaon, I think, makes the point that the fingers are of all different lengths. And the idea is you have to give each oni according to what his need is, which is different. Once you open up your hand, you see that the need of each oni is going to be quite different. Now that is, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that rule that you give whatever the need is, that does not refer to people who come knocking on the door. Likach prutos or prusas lechem, that they come knocking on the door for a loaf of bread, for a slice of bread, or for some coins. But we're talking about people who are sitting at home, they're too embarrassed to knock on your door. That's when you've got to give them whatever their lack is. So if the Rav of the shul calls you up and says, listen, I've come across a fellow in the shul who he can't afford some, I don't know, new some clothing items for his children. So then you say to him, how much will it cost? He needs £200. So then you give him £200 because that's the particular need for that person. But that's only for someone who's sitting at home, you know his particular need. But continues the Aruch HaShulchan, but someone who knocks on the door, there's no shir how much you give. You give a small amount. And the svara is, because he's got the whole town to knock on, he'll knock on 1,000 doors, and every person gives a small amount, then that will build up to a larger amount. So the person knocking on the door, you only have to give him a small amount. As the Rambam says, a matonim u'etes. What does that mean in practical terms? So the sefer, he brings the stock of treasury, a fabulous sefer by Avram Chaim Feuer. He quotes Rabbi Yaakov Fisher, Zichrin Roch of the Badatz Beis Din, and he said, and this is going back a little bit, it's a bit dated, but he said, even 10 agarot, even a very small amount of small coin. It's basically the smallest coin that can buy some sort of food in the market. Now, here in London, what would that be? Maybe a 50p coin, a pound coin. Does that mean a dime in America, or a quarter, a dollar? Nowadays, I don't think you can buy that much for less than a dollar, for less than, let's say, certainly a 50p or a pound. But even buying a bagel or a roll or some fruit or some chocolate, something, just a small amount, that would be sufficient. So that is for a person who actually knocks at the door, but one has to give him something. You shouldn't turn him empty-handed because of the pasuk of Al Yoshev Dach Nichlom. But what about a situation where you're getting mass mailings? So it's interesting. When it comes to a big city, there is an anecdote that he brings in his sefer that the stipler, the famous stipler guard, when he was a young man, he came to the city of Vilna. And he asked the Rav of Vilna at the time, Rav Chaim Oizer Gudzinski, he asked him that question. He says when he goes to the shul and there are many people, many poor people sitting outside and they're begging for money, is he obligated to give every single one of them? The stipler had very little money. What is the halachic obligation? So the Rav Chaim Oizer said, very interestingly, that before he came to Vilna, he would give. But now when he came to a big city like Vilna, he stopped this practice because in a big city, it's impossible to give every single person. And he said that Avram Chaim Feuer said that he corroborated this story with Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the son of the stipler, Lahav Nechaim Nechaim. And he said that about just over 20 years ago, he discussed the story with Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and he corroborated the statement. And he said that you can rely on it in actual practice. And he said that the rule of the Rambam that we just mentioned of giving a maton mu'etes is only applies when there is a limit to people collecting. But when a person is besieged, he says, incessantly by throngs of collectors. So then in the case of when you go to a shtiebel factory, you go to a certain shul where there could be dozens of people coming collecting, or at some chasnas or things like that, then it becomes a situation, he says, of ein l'davar sof. And it no longer is the category of a maton muetzes, because it could balloon into a very large gift from which the person giving could be exempt. So that the situation could be slightly different in a big city where there are many, many mishlochim, because the maton muetzes balloons into something much bigger. But what about telephone? What about post or mail solicitations? It's quite a common practice that thousands of envelopes are distributed in a large Jewish community. Is one obligated to respond to that? Well, again, in this Sefer, he makes the following point. The Pasuk of Al Yoshev Dach Nichlom, which the Rambam quotes, not to turn away a person standing at the door, not to embarrass him, that's when the person comes in person. Now, some poskim say that this extends to a telephone call. You can ask the person calling that he can send you a stamped addressed envelope so that you can return it, if that is the case. Nowadays, many people do charity payments online, so it's a different story. But you can ask for that. But regarding, and therefore, when it comes to telephone conversations, some posts can say that it does extend to that, and turning around and saying no is inappropriate and one should give a maton muetes. Others argue and say no. But what about mass mailings? So interestingly, in the Sefer, he quotes Rav Palm, and he quotes Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and they both rule that you can ignore it, and it's not a problem of Al Yoshev Dach Nichlom. This is what they say. He said, today we find ourselves inundated by mass mailings on behalf of needy individuals and worthy organizations, and a person can receive dozens of them. I think during COVID it sort of quietened down a little bit, but one can receive many requests for money. And he said something very interesting. He said, it's not really a problem with this pasuk of Al Yoshev Dach Nichlom, because the organizations that send out these mass mailings, they're sending to thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of people. And they, if as few as 5% of those solicited by mail respond to the postal appeal, then the people who sent it out consider the appeal to be a success. And therefore, they anticipate that the vast, vast majority of people are not going to respond. And therefore, they paskin, Rav Palm, and Rav Chaim Kanievsky paskin, that it's not a violation of Al Yoshev Dach Nichlom. And therefore, you're under no obligation to respond to it. Obviously, one can, but one is under no obligation to do so. And that is true even if they send a gift. Sometimes, especially Rosh Hashanah time, they send a certain gift, a certain luach, a certain, a card or something. And maybe you would feel that there would be an obligation, therefore, to respond. But again, that wouldn't change things. And even if they were to send the stamp addressed envelope where they've spent money on the stamp, again, one isn't under an obligation to give to that situation. So just to summarize the connection to this week's parasha, Yaakov, upon awaking from his dream, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you fulfill all the promises, the wonderful promises of the dream, Aser Asrem Lach, I will surely give you myself everything I get. And we've seen the importance of staka. Ma'id yeshli zaher ba, one should be very careful about it, as the Shulchan Aruch brings. And la'olam ein odom ma'ani mina staka, no one becomes poor from giving staka, the mashal of the Chofetz Chaim at the post office. How much does one actually have to give? Well, the Aruch HaShulchan explains, it depends. If there is a specific need and someone calls you up and says, there is a specific need, I had this in school, one of the ladies who sits at the front desk, she came over to me and she said, boy in your share, she said, did you notice he was wearing Shabbos shoes? I must be honest with you, I did not notice. So she said to me, do you know why he's wearing Shabbos shoes? So I didn't even notice he was wearing Shabbos shoes, but I didn't know why. So she explained to me, she's an amazing woman, she said that she'd got to the bottom of it, and it turned out that the weekday shoes were broken, were totally worn and were not wearable, and they couldn't afford to buy a new pair of shoes. He had a pair of Shabbos shoes, so he wore those, but they couldn't afford. He had to wait till the next paycheck or whatever to buy weekday shoes. So if she were to tell me, oh, these shoes cost £30 and I've got £30 of money to give, then that is de machser ashayachsalo, that's what his need is. But that's the specific need. But when it comes to people knocking on the door, then the Rambam and the Rosh Hashulchan all say that you can give a matonim or etes, a small amount, because you don't want to violate al yoshev dach nichlam. You shouldn't let the person who is oppressed, who is coming around begging, collecting for money, to turn his back in shame. However, as the postman said, as we discussed, that does not apply to situations where there are a number, a very, very big number of mushalachim, of people who are collecting. For example, in a shul or a chasna, if there are a lot of people, then the small maton muetes amounts to a very large amount, or for mail solicitation for letters in the post, it would not apply to that. One is not under an obligation because the association, the organization, are expecting the vast, vast majority of people not to have to reply.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.